Okay, just before you start, you're going to recognize the music in this video and the song, and I'm sure most of you know the words. Feel free, please, to join in. All right, you know what? We may just have to start the video over, and we'll sing the words. Go, roll it.
Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea.
We're a little ahead.
And frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Annalee. Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea. And frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Annalee.
Wait for the verse.
Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Annalee.
Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Puff and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Annalee.
Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Annalee. Together they would travel on a boat with golden sails.
Jackie kept a lookout perch, Puff's gigantic tail. Noble kings and princes would bow whenever they came.
Ships would
lower their flags, Puff
would
his name. Oh, Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Annalee. Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Annalee.
A dragon lives forever, but not so little boys. Painted wings and giant rings make way for other toys. One gray night it happened, Jackie Paper came no more. And Puff that mighty dragon, he ceased his fearless roar.
Oh. Without Puff. His lifelong friend, Puff could not be brave.
And the mighty dragon sadly slipped to his cave.
All together.
Oh, Puff
the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in the land called Annalee. Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Annalee.
Thank you very much.
Peter, Paul, and Mary got nothing on us.
That was called Peter, Paul, and Barely. Today is Power Sunday, and I'm really kind of hyped today because today we get to talk about imagination. And as far as I'm concerned, out of the 12 powers, imagination is the one that is the most fun. Because imagination says, let her rip, let it loose. When you're using imagination, there's absolutely no reason whatsoever to hold back. And maybe necessity is the mother of invention, but if it is, imagination is the father. You all know what imagination is. You all have experienced imagination in your lives. You all have lived imagination without a doubt. And imagination, even more than love, is proof, is evidence of the reality of God in our world and in our universe. If somebody asks you to describe what does love and what does power and what does faith look like, what you might do is point to examples in the world in order to get the point across. But if somebody ever asks you, what does imagination look like? You don't have to point to a thing. All you have to do is tell them, open your eyes and look around. Because absolutely everything and anything that has ever been created, that has ever come into being, came to us through the power of imagination. I don't know if you ever had a mystical experience, an experience in touching your ground of your being and coming in contact with your God due to some wondrous experience. And you are filled with wonder. And maybe it was something like the vastness of the ocean, or the ocean of stars that appear at night. Or maybe it was a grand mountain range, or a beautiful, abundant green valley, or a roaring waterfall. Maybe it was something a bit more subtle, the smell of freshly cut grass, the cooing of a bird, the smile on a young baby's face, a cool breeze in the summertime, or gently watching the power, the beauty of snowflakes as they gently fall and cover the ground. All of these are things that have been created. All of these are things that stem from divine mind. And all of these are things that we can possibly bond with, maybe even unconsciously, just by muttering a simple prayer. Well done, God. Thank you. But there's a reason why we can bond with these things. There's a reason that we can be filled with a sense of awe, with a sense of wonder, given our relationship with these things. And that is that all of these come to us from the same creative, divine energy that flows in each and every one of us. It is the Christ. It is the God within us that allows us to connect, that allows us to commune with the inner sacredness of absolutely everything. But it isn't just the grand wonders of the universe that give us proof of the power of imagination. Everything that ever was created uses the power of imagination to co-create and to recreate even more. Think of the complexity of something like a spider web, or a bird's nest, a beaver's dam, or a hornet's nest. Think of anything that humankind ever made. Every tool, the wheel, every musical instrument, the airplane, the Ferris wheel, the skyscraper. Think about simple things. A mousetrap, a can opener. Think of your cell phones that are now sitting in your purse or sitting in your pocket. Think about the very clothes that you're wearing today. Think about the chairs that you are sitting on right now at this service. We tend to take so much for granted. We tend to take so many of these things for granted. But all of these things are things that flowed from that one power, that one source, that power that created the greatest wonders in the universe. It's a power that is deeply embedded in absolutely each and every one of us. If ever in your life you have ever played at anything, then you have exercised your power of imagination. And what a joy it is if you ever have had the opportunity to sit back for a couple of minutes and watch children at play. To watch them as they pretend and they play house, or they play school, or they play fire department. Before the service, I got to witness Warren on the ground with Joshua playing with one another. And we all did all of these things ourselves, or at least I really hope that you did. Think back to that time when you were young and you engaged in those pretend games, those games of imagination. And you played house, or you played school, or maybe you played cowboys and Indians back then, or cops and robbers. When I was a little boy, I had a friend, a very close friend, and we really liked to play the Lone Ranger and Tonto. And we used to fight with one another as to who got to be Tonto, because we thought it was so cool to say, Kimosabi. And parents encourage this kind of behavior because inherently parents understand that play, that imagination, is such an important part of childhood. And the world of Walt Disney brings us a world of possibilities. And we read storybooks to our children because deep down we really know that the world truly is magical. And that life is so incredibly precious. And again, we have that deep down knowing, that understanding, that living and being and becoming are truly divine gifts. And imagination is one of those ways that bring those gifts to life, that make those gifts tangible in our lifetimes. And so the phrase, "When you wish upon a star," isn't just a Disney expression. It's a divine prayer. Even the world of science is witness to imagination. Now, science will tell you, you know, they have a creed. If it can't be seen, if it's not visible, if we can't measure it, then it's not real. And yet at the same time, the world of science gives us the hypothesis, the guess, the speculation as to what is possible and what can be. Science prophesies about possibilities. Science dreams and imagines things like space travel and a cure for cancer and ways to feed all of the hungry children on this planet, and all sorts of other innovations designed to bring us all a more fulfilling experience of life. One of the things that we admire most in others is creativity. Oh, wow, look at him, look at her. He's so creative, she's so creative. I could never come up with something like that. I could never come up with something so clever. And we look at the accomplished people in the world, the composers, the authors, the inventors, with a true sense of admiration, and rightfully so. But what we tend to forget, what we tend to lose sight of, is that same creative energy that flowed through them and inspired them to do the things that they did is an intrinsic part of each and every one of us. And so just as it is Christ within, the great I am within that allows us to commune and gasp in awe at the tremendous wonders of the universe, it is the same great I am that allows us to sink with all of the wonderful things that people have done. The Lord said, "Let there be light." And one day, a Thomas Edison would come along and say, good idea, God. Let's see what else we can do with this. Creativity is imagination in motion. So if imagination is so wonderful, why does it go away, or at least seem to go away? In the video, we got to see Puff the Magic Dragon. But Puff wasn't just a dragon. Puff was a figment of Little Jackie Paper's imagination. And at Disney Park, they actually have a character now called Figment. It's a little purple dragon that sometimes wears a yellow sweater. But Puff the Magic Dragon metaphysically means so much more. Puff the Magic Dragon represents everything and anything that is truly magical to us. Everything and anything that is born from our sense of wonder. Everything and anything that brings purpose, that brings joy, that brings happiness to our lives. The video ends on a note of sadness. And we all feel a bit of pain as we watch Puff's head droop in sorrow and those green scales fall like rain as he retired back into his cave. But that's not the real sadness in the song. That's not the real sadness in the story. The real sadness in the story is that little boys grow up. The sadness in the story is that little Jackie Paper grows up. The sadness in the story is that little Jackie Paper stops coming and little Jackie Paper stops playing and little Jackie Paper stops imagining. But we all have to grow up, right? We have to become responsible. You know, and we're sent the message, you know, as we travel along, act your age. It's time to put away your toys. But the call to grow up is not the call to grow old. Old age is not properly measured by the wrinkles on our face or the loss or color of our hair. Old age is something that is more properly measured by the dreams that we have let go. It's more properly measured by how we have come to stop playing, how we have come to stop imagining. Because when we stop doing those things, we stop creating. Sometimes we get confused. The problems of life come at us, all of us, inevitably. And sometimes we get ourselves into a mess. We don't see a way out, and we just cannot find answers. And sometimes in unity, you'll hear some wisdom expressed in response to somebody who's in that kind of a quandary. They'll say something to the effect of, "I really don't know what the answer is, but I know that you know deep down inside." I kind of agree with that advice. But I just think that's perhaps a more poetic way of saying, for God's sakes, use your imagination. If we turn to our way shower, Jesus, he was the master at imagining. He was able to transcend centuries of a notion, a concept of God as an old stodgy figure sitting somewhere up in the sky. A God that was exacting, a God that was judgmental, and even sometimes a God that was whimsical and maybe even a little bit mean. But as a grown man, the little boy in Jesus gave us his version of Puff the Magic Dragon. And his dragon didn't reside in the land of Hanalei. His dragon resided in the land of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And it's a kingdom of beauty and power and peace and love and joy and real justice. You know, all of those things that the world scoffs at and tells us really aren't there. They really aren't real. You too get to imagine the kingdom. And there's no need for you to speculate, to guess what your kingdom or your dragon represents. So if you want your dragon to bring to you the experience of joy and prosperity and health and power and beauty and love, then dream that dream every minute of every day. Take that dream to prayer, and you will discover that what you dare to imagine will become your reality. So is there a practical measure in all of this? You betcha. Because I'm not telling you here that the solution to everything is take the problems and the issues that come at you at life and pretend that they don't exist or ignore them. On the contrary, I'm inviting you to confront those issues, to take those issues on head on. Because imagination isn't supposed to be a means of escape. And so all I'm suggesting to you is perhaps it might be a really good idea to let that little boy, that little girl that is still so very much alive in you, maybe come up with some imaginative way of living your way through these types of things. So regardless of what it is, your job, your finances, your spouse, your health, this church, take a look at your relationship to all of these things. And in doing so, regardless of where that relationship may be, positive or negative, dare to believe what it can become. Dare to imagine the possibilities which will make those relationships richer, fuller, more powerful, more meaningful in your life. I close with an important unity principle. Dare to behold the Christ within. And this morning, dare to behold the little Jackie paper within. And let's take this to prayer and meditation.